Now, will you turn with me, please, to the passage of Scripture that we read together? Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. And I'd like us to center our thoughts this morning round the last verse of that chapter, where we read, "And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." We saw in our reading two of the miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ. One to a Gentile woman and one to this man whose name we do not know and who was deaf and had his tongue tied so that he couldn't speak clearly. Now, the miracles of the Saviour were designed to show who he was. He came into an unbelieving world, and at his baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him to do his work of redemption and to anoint him as the Messiah. But people in general rejected him. And so the Lord not only preached, but he performed miracles to show who he was. They vindicated his claim. They authenticated him to be who he claimed to be. That is, the Son of God come into the world. And so the miracles were a testimony to an unbelieving world. And in the Lord's lifetime, the first miracles, they had a remarkable effect. And the common people, the intelligentsia, the rulers, they rejected him and said his miracles were the work of the devil. But the common people heard him gladly, and they came running to him wherever he was found, and they came for help and for healing. And as they were healed, the Lord Jesus Christ proved who he was. But also, many of the miracles were acts of pure kindness and compassion on the part of the Saviour. So they not only displayed his divinity, but they showed his perfect humanity in his pity for suffering humanity. And this was so in this miracle, where we read of the Saviour sighing as he said, "Be opened, Ephphatha, be opened." And this sigh was a groan which arose out of sorrow and think for pity for the man who was held bound by these things. Now, I want us, first of all, to look at this particular miracle. And then, secondly, I want us to consider why this incident is here, what we can learn from it. Now, this man was brought to the Saviour, and he was deaf, and so he was cut off in so many ways from those around him. But he was not totally dumb. The people said he makes the mute to speak at the end, but in fact he wasn't totally dumb. His tongue was bound so that he couldn't articulate his words properly. The AV says that in his mouth he had a string which tied his tongue, and that was the effect. His tongue was bound and he couldn't speak clearly. Now, the man's friends desired the Lord to touch him, to lay his hands upon him. So the Lord responded to their request. But he did not need to do this. He did not need to touch the man. In the previous miracle, a Gentile woman came to him and asked that her daughter might have the demon cast out of her. And the Lord marveled at the woman's faith. She showed more faith than the people of God. It was the same with the centurion who came. And he said, "Don't trouble to come into my house. Only say the word." And the Lord Jesus Christ didn't need to touch the man. And that was we saw that in the case of the woman's daughter. But he accommodated himself to the people around him. He heard their request, and he laid his hands upon this man. He was touched by the condition of the man. He was touched by the sincere desire of the people. And then the Lord touched his ears. He put his fingers in his ears, and he touched his tongue, so that he heard and spoke clearly. He was cured instantly. There was no period of recuperation. He was healed instantly. The healing was divine, and so the outcome was divine. When the Lord created, he spoke, and it was done. When the Lord healed, he healed, and it was done. Now, as far as his speaking was concerned, in this, the Lord chose to use his own saliva. And he spat and then touched the man's tongue. Now, you might think this is related to his tongue, but not necessarily, since in the next chapter, he uses his saliva to cure blindness. Why? I'm not sure. But he was using means to perform his miracle. And then he commanded them to be silent. And when he was in Tyre and Sidon, he wanted his presence to be kept quiet. And I think that is fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 42. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth." And there we read of the Saviour coming, and he does not make a noise about his coming. The people do. The people speak about him, and he could not be hidden. But he himself so behaved that I think he was deliberately fulfilling that prophecy. So the Lord commanded them to be silent, but they could not. And they just could not because of the magnitude of the things that the Lord was doing. You know, there are so many miracles that we read about them. We say, "Oh yes, he did this and he did that." But for the people who received these things, they were astonished beyond measure. They were fantastically impressed and speechless at what the Lord had done. So they said, close by saying the words of our text, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." So what do we learn from a miracle like this? Well, the first thing is that, like all the miracles, as I've already said, it is to teach us who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He came from glory and became a perfect man. And the Son of God became man without ceasing to be the Son of God. And this is another incident where it teaches us who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That by merely touching, he can banish deafness and the dumbness. By merely speaking, he can cast out a demon. By merely speaking, he can cure the illness of the centurion's servant at a distance. By merely speaking, he can still the storm. He does all things well. And the miracles, this one, like all the others, it shows that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he is the Son of Man without ceasing to be the Son of God. And the second thing that we see about this is that it shows that the people said he has done all things well. They see in the Lord Jesus Christ one who is good, one who is holy, one who does what he does well. He does not fail in any of the things that he does. And so the Lord had already, God, his Father, had already said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He had the testimony of God. And these people who saw him for who he was, he had the testimony and the praise. Might have only been for a while, but he had the testimony of the crowd that he has done all things well. And his disciples were impressed and saw that he did things well. They ended up asking, "Who can this be that he does these things?" But the Lord showed himself who he was, and the people added their testimony to the testimony of the Father. Then the third thing is that he had compassion on this poor man, and he enabled him to hear and speak. But the man, like all those who were healed by the Lord Jesus Christ, they would live their lives healed, but they would have to die. And they would have to come to the end of their days. And so even though the Lord Jesus Christ performed this miracle, and even though the people rightly said he has done all things well, his healing was well done. But if the Lord came just to heal, then after 3 years, the people who had been healed would all eventually die out, and his having done well would come to an end. No, the Lord Jesus Christ healed, and his healing was well done, but the Lord came to do more than that. And he came to achieve the forgiveness of sins. And he, in healing this man, what he did was to show a way in which his power was more profound, more thorough, more divine than what was needed to heal this man of his deafness and of his inability to speak. This man was deaf, but so are we, in a much more profound way and deadly way than this man. Because the Lord Jesus Christ came and to preach the gospel. But what is our normal reaction? We spurn what the Lord says. The seed that is sown in our hearts is so often just taken away by the evil one. We are profoundly deaf spiritually. And so it was just this man who was deaf. And there were others that were deaf. But we are all profoundly deaf spiritually by nature. And we and we need a miracle to be performed upon us of the same divine power that the Lord did upon this poor man. So the poor man was an example, if you like, of what we all are spiritually. And as he was deaf, so are we deaf to God, deaf to his word, and deaf to deaf to his work in the world. And so, just as this man needed the touch of the Lord to open his ears, so we need the touch of the Lord, which is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, to open our spiritual ears, to open our minds, so that they might receive the word of God. So if you are a Christian this morning, if you love the word of God, if you love the gospel, if you've received the gospel, if you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit has performed a work on you and on me, which is in fact like the work that was performed upon this man, a divine work, but more profound, more lasting, more significant. And so we, each one, can say with these people, he has done all things well. Because the fact that we, if we are Christians, have had our ears opened, shows that the Lord has worked well within us. And we know why and how that is. Because in the gospel, we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross to save sinners like you and like me. He bore our sins. And there came a day when these things became real and true. The things that bounced off our ears, bounced off us before, suddenly we became convicted of them. How was that? It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And if you like, the Holy Spirit is saying to those of us who have received our word, Ephatha, be opened. And our spiritual ears are opened to hear the word of God. So as this man was deaf, so are we in that more deadly way. And in the preaching of the gospel, the Lord, by his Spirit, touches our ears so that we can hear and receive his word. The Lord has mercy upon us, and his mercy is everlasting and eternal. The man's deafness is, if you like, a picture of our more profound deafness. But then this man could not speak clearly. His tongue was bound up. He had an impediment in his speech. And that is true of us by nature. We are not a, just as this man could not speak clearly, we by nature are not able to say that which is right concerning the Lord. We cannot speak clearly concerning him. By nature, when we speak to one another, and then when we speak of eternal things, we distort everything concerning him. And this is particularly clear if you listen to the learned, to the pundits, who seem to be so well aware of what they know. And they know everything. And they say that God isn't there, or they say that if he is, it's not like, he's not personal, he's just a sort of a power. And the scriptures, well, they were okay for a simpler age, and you can hear them pontificating. They are using their tongues, their literal tongues, to speak that which is untrue concerning the Lord. And we're all like that. We speak those things which are not right. We do not please the Lord. We do not serve him. We use our abilities to express ourselves and show that we are not right with God. Now, we're not like this man. There's nothing wrong with our tongues physically, but they are governed by souls which are not right with God spiritually. And what comes out shows what we are. Like the Lord said, it's what comes out of a man that defiles him, not what goes in. And by our conversation, we distort and we show what we are like. But the touch of the Saviour, by his Spirit, in the Gospel, he enables us to begin to say and to believe and to act that which is right concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, concerning God. And those of us who are believers, we do say, he has done all things well. For us, he has made the dumb to hear, the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. Because that's what he does in his people, by his Spirit. And men and women and boys and girls by nature are deaf and dumb to the Lord. They will not hear him. They will not acknowledge him. And yet in the Gospel we begin to hear and we begin to acknowledge the goodness of God. We begin to serve him. The Apostle Paul puts it like this. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The believing in the heart is proof that our spiritual ears have been opened. Confession with the mouth is to show that our tongues have been loosed. And then we will be able to confess with all the redeemed that the Lord Jesus Christ has done all things well. So this miracle shows the glory of the Saviour. It shows that he is able to save or to heal with a word. He is also compassionate, and he accommodates himself to the desire of the crowd by laying his hand upon this man. But the works that he performs are sovereign works of power. And he does his work, and all his miracles prove him to be who he is. And his miracles of healing, they are wonderful in themselves, and they are worthy of his praise in themselves. But I think that they show a deeper meaning, a deeper indication of the work that he came to do, which was to save poor sinners like you and like me. So do we say He has done all things well. Do we acknowledge that he has opened our ears and that he has loosed our tongues? Now, there's just one last thing that I want to say, and it's this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ performed that miracle, it was in response to the fact that the man had been brought to the Saviour. His miracles, I think all of them, were a response of a plea or people bringing the one who needed to be healed. And it's like that with us. We need to be brought to the Saviour. And we need to say, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. The Lord says to us, what is it that you would like me to do for you? And Bartimaeus said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And that's true with us, that that the Lord will not come and save us while we just go about our daily lives oblivious of him and careless of him. The Lord works in the hearts mercifully, and he causes us to come to the Lord and to plead with him that he might save us. And as these people brought the man to the Lord, then we need to be brought to the Lord. And how is that? Well, it's in preaching, through the prayers of God's people. If you're not a believer here this morning, the Lord's people are praying for you. They are bringing you to the Lord. And you must respond to that. You must come and ask and believe. And the Lord will have mercy upon your soul. And when you believe in him and find that he has forgiven you your sins, you will find that even the bringing, even the coming, is the work of God's Holy Spirit. It is his work from beginning to end. He has done all things well. But there is no sitting, waiting for the Lord to do something for you, if you're not his, and thinking, well, it'll happen. I know a man, and all his life, he attended the Free Church of Scotland that we went to in Dumbarton. He distorted the doctrine of election. He said, oh, if I'm one of the elect, the Lord will save me. But he abused that because he said, so it has nothing to do with me. It'll happen. But I believe, I'm not sure of this, but I believe he went to his deathbed like that, waiting, passively, not seeking the Lord. It is those who seek the Lord who will find him. And that is what we learn from this. So may God enable us to seek him, find him, hear him, acknowledge him, and be truly his people as we seek to follow him. May God have mercy upon us. Amen.